Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof chapter 7, but first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of them, or figs of thistles? Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Thus far, scripture reading.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Jenny Van Heerden, whose sister-in-law passed away in the Netherlands last night. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and Lord of the earth, we have heard it out of thy holy word that a corrupt tree that cannot bring forth good fruit. And when we, each one of us, must look upon ourselves, then what can we say unto thee in this morning hour? Thou sparest us and bringest us in thy mercy to thy house of prayer. And we are called to worship thee. We were created, therefore, in thy image with that ability. And thou knowest what we have become. In and through our own fault, in and through our own covenant head, and what is our daily choice, for is a choice by nature of this world, and all that is therein. Though thou art our creator, though thou art our upholder, and though thou art our benefactor and our provider day by day, because in and of ourselves we cannot move, and we cannot live, except that thou dost uphold us in our being. O Lord, could it please thee, in this thy holy day, that thou hast set aside for the worship of thee, that thou may look upon us and remember us when we are come into thy house of prayer. It is but one day out of a whole week wherein we are permitted to lay aside the labors of our hands of the week of this life. It is but an hour or 2 hours of this thy holy day wherein we may come into thy house of prayer and into that place where thou hast promised to be, when two or three may be gathered together in thy name. And thus we are gathered in a holy hour. We are gathered in an hour for which we will give an account on that great day of days. Lord, what shall take place in this hour? Because there will either be a hardening in this hour, a little harder, and a little harder, and a little harder, that our hearts will become as we become older, and as we come closer to that great judgment day. Or if thou wilt by thy Holy Spirit make it different, then it is possible that a hard heart would break to pieces. O Lord, in one moment thou art able to work the power that is with thee. We do not have it. And the will is also with thee, because we do not have that either. Our desire is for the flesh and for the world. It is of the earth, earthy, and we are dependent upon thee, O Lord. Oh, could it please thee then to come to do for us what we cannot and will not do for ourselves, and that in this hour thy Spirit's power may be evident in our midst to break the hard and stony hearts, to give that true saving impression in the soul that I am without hope, that I am without God in the world. Oh, that it could be the hour of thy good pleasure, wherein thou dost awaken one from the dead, young and old together. Lord, that thou may look also upon thy children this hour, the burden of the sorrowful, thou wilt not despise. Thou feeds with good the hungry soul. Oh, could it please thee to remember them also in this day, and to hear the supplication of those who have learned by thy Spirit to pray, but do not know that it is thy own work. Oh, that we may be given also that wisdom, and that freedom and that opening in thy holy word, to lay out that way wherein thou leadest all thy people, that thy children may be given eyes to see, a little hope and encouragement upon the way, that there also may be an instruction for those further upon the way, That there may be also a drawing by thy Spirit of those who know not the way, and that there may be also a rebuking of those who are lying upon a bed of sloth, and that thou who knowest the hearts may feed each one according to their needs. Lord, we can only give unto this people what thou givest unto us. We are helpless and ignorant and know nothing in ourselves. O thou who knowest then the heart of each one, on their way to a great eternity, we beseech thee for thy indispensable Spirit, undeservedly in this morning hour, in the life of those that bring forth no fruit unto righteousness, and who deserve to be cut off, to be cut down, because we cumber the ground upon which we stand. O Lord, show to us our sin. Show to us thyself. Glorify thy name. Remember the afflicted. Be with those that mourn. Also her that has lost a sister-in-law in the night that is gone by. Supply in all her needs also as a widow. And could it please thee to remember in this family also in the calling wherein thou givest unto them and unto each and every one of us. Remember all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have become old and those that have special needs. Wilt thou give that thy callings, that thy dealings in the midst of this world may be sanctified and blessed. Help all those that care for them, all doctors, nurses, and all those that come to the aid of those that are afflicted and sick and in danger. Wilt thou keep watch over and protect all those emergency workers? And may thou remember all that have special needs known unto thee, parents, in the bringing up of our children. Oh, how many, many are the shortcomings. Lord, give to us wisdom, oh, that we may be given in the task that thou hast laid upon us, that wisdom from above, but also that faithfulness that is so necessary, that we may as parents also flee all this world, that we may be an example unto our children, which is more than our words. Wilt thou look upon the youth? Wilt thou give them in this time in which they do live to an open eye, to see the poverty of the world wherein that they are dwelling, that they may learn to hasten also and to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Wilt thou remember all thy servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Wilt thou increase their number? Remember the student. And wilt thou give opening in thy word, wherever thy word is brought in the midst of this world. Be with those that have been united in this weak and that bond of holy matrimony. And wilt thou look upon them in that life, wherein thou hast brought them together. And could it please thee to grant them a blessing for this life and to gather for another. Be with us in this morning. Lord, help us when we are called to bring thy word. But when we are of yesterday and know nothing, oh, could it please thee to open our eyes, as thy servant, Lord, thou hast promised it unto us. I have put my words in thy mouth, and if thou wilt take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth, O Lord, that it may be experienced this hour, and that we are thy mouthpiece, and that it may be experienced in the fruit of it, in the midst of this our flock. Come then, Lord, help us, and the mind, in the body, in the soul, in the preaching, in the hearing, in the receiving, and we ask it undeservedly, for Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, I will sing from Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. In vision to his saints, God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. The last collection today is for the carpet and pews. Also, we announced that, the Lord willing, the nursery will be open again next Sunday morning. Psalter 243, 1, 7, 8, and 9. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Congregation, how serious, how solemn is our life, because we have a soul that is created for a never-ending eternity. And yet, we read in God's Word, man that is in honor and understandeth not, he is like the beasts that perish. How careless. Every day that we go over this world by nature, and not only by nature, but sadly, as so often also after received grace. Solomon, he says, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. How is it with us? David says, Lord, make me to know mine end. Why? That I may know how frail that I am. But the Bible, that does not only tell us that we must be saved, but also how that we must be saved. Is there now a desire that we may know also how that I can be saved? This we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider with you out of the words of our text in this morning hour, which you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So far, the words of our text. The way which leadeth unto life. First, through the straight gate. Second, upon the narrow way. The way which leadeth unto life. First, through the straight gate. And second, upon the narrow way. We have a text in God's Word, congregation, before us, which is a text of great contrasts, because then it speaks in the first place about two gates. Thus, we are reading here about a straight gate and a wide gate. We read in the second place about two ways. We read about a broad way and about a narrow way. We read in the third place about two groups of people. One, we read that there are many. And the second, we read they are few. In the fourth place, we read about two ends. On the one side, we read of life. On the other side, we read of destruction. Thus, when the Lord says two, then he does not say three. No, but he says only two. Because we, as the natural man, we want to make somehow a third way. A way that is somewhere in between these two ways. Because when we are honest, then we have to say, well, then I cannot place myself upon that way that is leading unto life. That is not my life. When I hear what it is in the life of God's true children, no, when I am truly honest with myself, then I have to say no. But now to say that I am upon that broad way, that I am upon that way that is leading to an everlasting destruction, and that if in this day the Lord would snuff out my short life, and that I would fall this day into that everlasting bottomless pit, no. No, we do not want to say that there is only two ways, but somehow then I fall in a way which is in the middle. Because I am still an outwardly good person and I come to church and I am not as all the men in this world. Two ways. Last week, then we have considered how the Lord Jesus, he has spoken about the end of the world. And that he has spoken about the end of time. And what is at the end of time? At the end of time, congregation, then there is eternity. Eternity. And then we have heard it also in this morning. Another relative. Another calling, and going from time into eternity. And our text that is speaking about these two ends, the one end that is life, the other end that is destruction. Oh, when we consider contrasts, then what greater contrast can there be between everlasting life and that eternal destruction? Everlasting well or an eternal woe? Hell and heaven. Communion with God. The presence of Satan. Forever and forever. And we can fathom so little of what that eternity shall be. And the Bible is saying to us a little bit of what eternity shall be, but we are creatures of the time. And we are not able to fathom what this is. It will have, congregation, to be experienced. But faith receives the testimony of God. We will say it different, boys and girls, for you. We will say it this way. If the Lord will give you a new heart, do you ask the Lord for that? If the Lord will give you a new heart, then you will begin to believe that there is coming an end to your life, and that it soon will be also for you an everlasting well or an everlasting woe. The Lord, He speaks about these two ends, and He says that there is an approach. There is an approach to each one of these two ends. Thus, we come not there immediately, for the most part, except in this day, of course, where multitudes are slain even in the womb. But the Lord, He says, there is a way that is leading unto each of these two ends. And before that way, that there is a gate, and gate of entrance that is leading unto that way. Thus, He says these things belong together, the gate and the way and the end. Thus, one who is entering in through that straight gate, then he is certainly going to come unto life, because it is the Lord who is connecting these things together, and it is the Lord who is preserving His people even unto the end, being not only the Alpha, but being also the Omega for His people. Thus, you say, where will I end? Can I know that? O congregation, if we will know where that we will end, then we must consider the way upon which we are traveling, and the gate that we have gone through, because that gate and that way belongs peculiarly, particularly unto that end. The straight gate belonging to the narrow way, belonging unto life. And now that broad gate, belonging, that wide gate belonging to that broad way and belonging to that end of everlasting destruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We have also in this another great contrast. It is the contrast between the way and the end of the way. The contrast between the path that is leading unto the end and that end itself. Thus He speaks about the end of glory. He says, He speaks about that eternal glory. He speaks about that great liberty, that great freedom, that great rest, that great peace. And He says that the obtaining of that end, that is going through a way which is just the opposite, that is going through a way that is attended with great difficulties, that is attended with, by a way that is going through a way that is attended by afflictions and trials and tribulations. A great contrast. And because of those difficulties, He says that few find that way. Why? Because our hearts, they are looking for ease. And they are not ready to give up the ease and the pleasure of this world in the time, in order that they may obtain for eternity the riches that are enduring, that substance that shall have no end. O congregation, are we ready then to make a sacrifice in our life? That we may obtain something that is so much more precious. The Lord Jesus, he says, if a man will build a tower, then he will sit down first, and he will count the cost, lest beginning to build he be not able to finish it. And so the Lord Jesus, he says, if we are not ready to forsake all that we have, then a man is not able to be my disciple. What does he speak about? Does he speak about carnal things? Does he speak about the things in this world? Sometimes. Sometimes it is necessary only read the history of the church. What does it all mean to us that we have in this world? The riches, the abundance, because we can read in God's word that for the sake of the obtaining of that kingdom, that men, they were required to forsake father and mother, to forsake brethren and sisters, to forsake lands, to forsake peoples, to forsake their houses. Oh, congregation, what does it all mean unto us? Because it could be that there is a time coming wherein also we with our children would have to forsake everything that we have in this world, that we may obtain the kingdom of God. Presently, we are permitted to remain. Presently, we are permitted to be together. Is there then nothing that needs to be forsaken? Oh, certainly. Certainly there is. Because God's word tells to us that there is a world, a world that needs to be forsaken. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, many are they that are going through that wide gate. Many are they that are walking upon that broad way. Multitudes and multitudes of people. Thus, congregation, where is our place in this world? When we are with the multitudes of people in this world, young people, then we may ask ourselves, am I now on the broad way, or am I now on the narrow way? Because the multitudes of people in this world, they are not looking for that which is to be found upon that narrow way. And so when we are with them in this world, then we can be quite sure that we are with those who are walking upon that broad way. And I know, yes, it is necessary that we live in this world, and that we are not able to completely separate ourselves from this world. Oh, but what is it, congregation, that the world is choosing? What do you think, young people? Do the bars, do they belong upon that narrow way? Are they part of that narrow way? Oh, the entertainments of this world. Oh, is that now what is sought by that people upon that narrow way? The movies of this world, the fads of this world, and everything that the world is seeking after. Oh, and then we will come a little closer And we do not like it to come closer to ourselves, not you or not me either. But what congregation about all the materialism of this world? What about the spending of the time that we do that we may obtain the treasures of this world? Oh, how much of it does not really belong and ought to belong upon not that narrow way, but upon that broad way. And yet, congregation, we must not think that the Lord speaks merely of the things that are external, because that would be very superficial. There are many that are today lost, that have lived outwardly a much stricter life than you and I. Or when we look in the history of the church, we look at the Roman Catholic Church, the asceticism, the self-denial, the self-affliction, the forsaking of this world, and yet, oh, poor, poor people, because it really was nothing but an attempt to purchase by paying a price of self-denial, to make a purchase of that which congregation is free, is without money, and without price. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, there is no man that has ever entered into life that has not walked upon the narrow way. And there is no man that has walked upon the narrow way that has not gone through that straight gate. Thus, congregation, that gate, that is the entrance. It is the entrance onto that narrow way. Children, when you will come to a house, then there is a way to that house, a driveway. And then sometimes, then you see that there is a sign on a post. And that sign that says private. What does that mean? Sometimes it will say, no trespassing. Well, and then that is a way that you must receive permission to enter upon that way. You have to have a right. You have to have a right. And when you have a right, then you may begin. So that is at the very beginning, before even that you may enter. Thus, there is no man who has ever entered into that straight gate, that has walked on that narrow way, that has not received in the first place a right. A right of entrance. Wherein is that right received? The right, congregation, is received in justification. The justification of a sinner before a holy and a righteous God. That is what makes that gate to be so straight. that is that gate is so small, that gate that is so narrow, that a man, he may be searching, that he may be looking, that he may be striving, but he cannot find and he cannot obtain in the very beginning. He cannot obtain the right to enter in. You say, is that not proclaimed? Is it not proclaimed freely unto everyone unto whom that word of God is coming? Indeed it is. Oh, that word of God by the servants of the Lord, proclaiming at that way, what is that way? Oh, we can read it in the Pilgrim's Progress. How that minister to that poor man, he is pointing him onto a wicked gate, that is to a very small gate, a very small door, a door within a door, as it were. That he is proclaiming him. Who is that? Our children know, you say that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You are right. The Lord teach it to you when you are young. Thus it is proclaimed. But what does that man say? He says, I cannot see it. I cannot see it. You say, because that door that is so small, yes. But because that people are so blind, yes. But there is something else, congregation, that makes that gate so straight. Do you know what makes it so straight? Enmity. Enmity. It is not only that we cannot see it, but it is that we have no desire for it. No desire. The Bible that speaks about a fivefold justification. And what is the first one? Our confession class students and catechism students, they will know that. That first justification, that first right to enter. Where is that found? That is found in eternity. Who is now receiving that right to enter there? That is the elect. The elect. They receive a right to enter. Oh, congregation, what an enmity. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? What an enmity against God, against the decree of God, because that is a decree whose foundation that is lying in the good pleasure of God, the good pleasure of God. And do you know what you and I are? We are as our father Adam. We are enemies of that good pleasure. No, I will be as God. It will be my good pleasure and not the Lord's good pleasure. And so, congregation, so because of that rage against God, all that right to entrance at that gate that is so straight for us. It is so small for us. We cannot find it because of the rage that is living in our heart against the decree of a triune God. Do you know where the second justification is? that is in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there that church is receiving a right to enter because of the satisfaction of God the Father when He raised His Son from the dead. All that is based upon a completed mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. O congregation, what an enmity, what an enmity is living in our heart. Why? Well, because we hate the need for a personal satisfaction. We reject it. The atonement of Christ, that He has died in the place of every one of His children. No, no. Our heart that says, I want to follow a good example. And this is the way that I would enter in. Oh, then why is it that the Father, He has so dealt with His Son that He should put Him to death? That was not necessary. But He has indeed in it shown that He has denied Himself, that He has given Himself. And so when I will so follow His example, and when I will give myself not only in self-love, but love for my neighbor, oh, then so I, then I can also earn that place in heaven. Oh, then I am looking to enter in by a way which is not that straight gate. No, it is actually the wide gates of the merit of the fallen creatures of the human race. And so man, he is, so few are finding it. Why? Because of the enmity not only against the Father in His decree to give that right to whom He pleases, but that enmity against His only begotten Son, and that He has that I cannot do it of my own accord, but that it must only be through Him. Oh, where is the third? The third justification, that is what we call actual justification. When is it? Oh, it is received in regeneration. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. O congregation, what an enmity, what an enmity. Why? Born again? Then I must acknowledge who I am. Or then I must acknowledge that I have fallen. Then I must acknowledge that there is no good left in me. Then I must acknowledge that I am lost, lost, lost. Not that I am going lost, but that I am lost. Then I have to acknowledge that there is nothing spiritual in me that is able to take hold of that lifeline that is thrown to me in the gospel. Oh, to be renewed, to receive a new heart, a new life, a new being. No, away with it. No, I will reform myself. And so because of that enmity, not only against the Father, not only against the Son, but also against the acknowledging of my deep fall. Oh, that men, they are seeking, 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 but they are not able to enter in through that straight gate. What is the fourth justification? That is justification in the court of the conscience of God's people. O congregation, that is a gate that is experienced by that people to be so narrow. And why so narrow? Actually, because of that same enmity. Or it is the desire, even after received grace, for self-justification. O pilgrim, he was pointed unto that wicked gate, but do you know what he rather try? Or he rather try to do it by the law, by the law. And it is only by experience in the life of the people that they learn to know that that gate of the law, the fulfillment of the law from my own side, that that gate is closed. Closed. Only by experience. Is that now ever come to be known in the life of God's children? And why closed? Not because of the Lord, but because of the weakness of my flesh, because of the standard of that law, that I am no longer able to reach it. What has to happen in the life of the people? All their work that has to die, that has to fall away. And when all that work that is fallen away, then the Lord is opening something. Then the Lord is revealing something. What is it? The gate. The gate. The right to enter into that gate. All that is a right that has been achieved, that has been bought by the Son of God, that they don't have to have their own right, that it is impossible to bring their own right. Oh, and then that way that becomes narrower and narrower for that people. Why? Because they have not only to lose their work, but they have also to come to the end of their life, to the end of their life. And then not only to receive the revelation of Him, but also to receive Him in the application. Oh, straight is the gate, finally. Oh, what is the last justification that is? In the judgment day, that is a public justification where all the world will be standing when the Lord, He will show unto the world that the right to enter into that kingdom, that is a right that has been given unto that people from Him. Oh, then they will testify of it. Because then they will say, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Let us sing 187, 1, 2, and 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 1, 2, and 4 of 187. The way which leadeth unto life, first through the straight gate, second upon the narrow way, after a man goes through the gate, then he begins to walk upon the way. After we receive the right of entrance, then we begin the actual entrance. Not only does the Lord forgive sin, but He also delivers from sin. That is His purpose. That is His end. that is congregation salvation, to be delivered from the greatest evil, and to be brought unto the highest good. Oh, do we want salvation? What is salvation? That is to be delivered from sin. In justification, then we receive the right unto salvation. That is, the right to enter. It is in sanctification that we receive the beginning of salvation. That is the entrance itself. Justification that happens in one moment. That is, as it were, at the gate. Sanctification that is lifelong, that is now the way. That is the way whereon the people, they are traveling. The way that is leading unto life. What did the Lord Jesus say about that way? He says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. When is the deliverance from sin? You say, that is in heaven. Well, that is in a certain sense true, because we read that there nothing shall enter in that defileth, but congregation, that is the final deliverance. That is the final deliverance. And where is the beginning of the deliverance from sin? That is in this life. That is in the life of sanctification. And there we find the necessity and the purpose of that narrow way. You say, that should be an easy work. Children, that should be an easy work, you would say, for the Lord. When he has given a new heart to God's people. And so now they hate sin. And now that the Lord would give, make them holy, well, that will be very natural for them. That should be easy. I will tell you a story. There was a very old man in the East. He told me one time that he had to take Reverend LeMaine to the airport. And this old man, many years ago, he may experience the justification in the court of his conscience. That is a blessing that not so many of God's children may experience in this life. And he may receive a little freedom to tell Reverend LeMaine what happened as he was driving to the airport. And then they arrived there. The minister had to get out. And then Reverend LeMaine said to him, he says, now for sanctification. And that man, as he was saying it to me, he said, I didn't know what he meant. And then he started to weep. And he says, but now I know. But now I know. Know that way of sanctification that is not so easy. And why is that not so easy? Paul calls it a battle. He says that is the warfare of the church militant. And in himself, he said that there were two that struggled against one another. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. That was now the grief that was living in his heart. Thus, there is a new man, yes. There is a new desire, yes. There is a new love, yes. But until the day of their last breath, there remains an old man too. And yet that love for sin, and therefore the battle, and therefore the necessity of the narrow way. They have no strength for that battle. Not only have they no strength for that battle, they have often no desire. No desire. Solomon says, laying on a bed of sloth, and therefore the necessity, and therefore the purpose of that narrow way, that is to wean the flesh. To wean the flesh from sin. That is, that the Lord may purge the people from the love of the world, from all their independence, from their vanity, from their carnality. That narrow way is different than the broad way. Why? You can understand that too, boys and girls. Is it because there are no mountains on the broad way? There are no valleys on the broad way? No, because there are two. But on that narrow way, that is so different from the broad way, because there is no way around the mountain. There is no way around the valley. You have to go up and over. You have to go down in two. That is that narrow way. Did you ever read Philpott's Northern Iron and the Steel? You should have those in your home. The sermons of J.C. Philpott. Find it. And then he shows in there how an affliction that we can deliver ourselves from, that is, congregation, no affliction at all. David, he was in the sides of the cave. And when he was in the side of the cave, and that king was asleep, and then his own servants, his own men, they came to David. And they said, behold, the day in which the Lord has now given to you, this is your deliverance. This is the day that the Lord has spoken to you of, where the Lord says, behold, I will deliver your enemies into your hand, and you can do with them according to your desire. Kill them. You will be rid of all your troubles. Was impossible. And why? Because in David there was a sanctified conscience. And it was the sanctified conscience that said, it is the anointed of the Lord that made David to have to go over the mountains and have to go down into those valleys. No, that affliction of David that was not from Saul. That affliction of David that was from the Lord. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. There is so much of our flesh congregation that has to die in order that we may receive that everlasting life. You may be sure if it is from the Lord in your life, that much will come against it. That is necessary. Do you know what Jacob said in his youth? He said, sell me thy birthright. Oh, we are members of Help Yourself. And we are going to help along to receive the promise of the Lord. It was 100 years later on his deathbed that Jacob, he said something different. He said, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. That was from the instruction that he has received upon a narrow way. Abraham had to wait too. Why? Because of the lesson of Ishmael that he also had living in his own heart. But it was an old covenant, Paul says. It was a covenant that gendereth unto bondage, that is living in the heart of God's children. And therefore the necessity of the narrow way. There is pride. Oh, that young boy Joseph, telling his dreams, they were from the Lord. He was a God-fearing boy. But he had to be rebuked of his father. Oh, there was something in him also in his youth. That old man in him too. And, oh, a narrow way. Yes. What a trouble he had to endure yet. The disciples, we want to sit on thy right and on thy left hand. The Lord Jesus says, can you drink of the cup I shall drink of? We can. We can. He says, you shall. You shall. They did not know what they said. Narrow is the way. Why? Because we need to be stripped, congregation, because there are idols. David, He will not displease at any time his goodly Adonijah. Eli, he will not send his sons out of the tabernacle. Oh, the idols. Oh, what grief. There are temptations in the flesh. The need for that narrow way so that a man like David, that he has to finally cry out. And to say that in sin and iniquity he was conceived and that he was born. Narrow is the way. Why? That they may be instructed in the wilderness. That they may learn to cry to God. And not depend upon themselves. Where they fall down and there is none to help. Then they cry unto God in their trouble. And he delivers them out of their distresses. Oh, narrow is the way. Why? That they may learn to agree with him. To agree with him. Because we are not in agreement. Carry back that ark. Into the city. If the Lord delight in me, he will bring me again, and he will show me both it and his habitation. But if not, if he say thus, I have no delight in thee, behold, here I am. Let him do what is good in his sight. That is the prophet. That is the prophet of that narrow way. That the corruptions may be mortified. That the will all that may be subdued, that it may be more and more renewed, that may be more and more directed, that the offending right hand would be cut off, that the offending right eye that may be plucked out, that we may receive not only the right, but that we may be made fit, that we may be prepared to receive that everlasting kingdom, because he that enters through that straight gate, he shall walk upon that way. And he that walks upon that way, he shall be received into eternal life come. Ye blessed of my Father, to inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou dost instruct us to enter in at the straight gate. O Lord, we cannot find a gate because of the enmity. O, take it out of the way. Open thou our eyes. Give us new hearts. Draw us, Lord. We will run after thee. Forgive our sins and also take them away. And grant us a new life. Bring us safely to our places, to thy house in this afternoon. Help him that goes before us. Be thou in our midst, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 201, 1, 2, 5, and 6. God loveth the righteous, his goodness is sure. He never forsaketh the good and the pure. Yet once my faith faltered, I envied the proud. In doubt and disquiet, my spirit was bowed. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of 201. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.